This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Alrighty, hour number two on this Thursday. What's happening? Tiki and Tierney Show. Tiki Barber, Brandon Tierney, coming to you from our studios, the Rocket Mortgage Studio. When you need an expert to help navigate the home loan process, Rocket can. Lot going on right now. We got Pete Prisco coming up next. Pete Prisco, by the way, I always mess around with him because he always, I shouldn't say always, but he, certainly not always. I don't mean to imply that at all. Sometimes struggles with his picks that he's been doing for years on CBSSports.com. He is on absolute fire. So I'm going to jinx him because I don't like anybody in the CBS family to do better on picks than me. So we've got him coming up next. I mean, he is just crushing it. It's frightening that he can't sustain it, but how he started is unbelievable. There was this Deadspin piece on LeBron that I stumbled across yesterday that I wanted to get into with Teak. We'll do that coming up at 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific, and Inbounds, Outbounds coming up in about 35 minutes here on the show. So we're going to talk about the Browns and the Steelers, but we have to weave this in. And as I read from CBSSports.com, let's see here. All right, the Browns had to go through practice on Thursday without Odell Beckham Jr., who was sent home after coming down with an illness. The big question for the Browns is whether or not Beckham's contracted COVID-19, and it's a question that hasn't been completely answered just yet. According to Coach Kevin Stefanski, Beckham's most recent test this week all came in as negative. However, the team won't have the results of his most recent test until tomorrow, so the Browns will likely keep Beckham away from the facility until those results come in, and we'll see. You know, Stefanski didn't seem overly concerned. He said he was kind of under the weather for a few days. Yeah. Didn't really list the symptoms, so it could be a stomach virus. I don't know what it is. But, you know, it's just another sobering reminder that you never know when something's going to flare up. Hopefully it's not that. There's no, you know, there's really not much more we can add than let you know what's going on. But it's right now, it's a possible story.
Also, the reality, BT, is that it's fall, cold, and flu season as well. Yep. So it could have nothing to do with the coronavirus. You could just legitimately be sick.
Correct.
From something else. And we all think the worst. It's probably good that we think the worst because it keeps us cautious. But at the same time, we can't speculate about Odell Beckham Jr. He's had, it feels like him and Baker and this offense are on the right track. And even if they are without Odell Beckham Jr. next weekend or this coming up weekend against the Pittsburgh Steelers, their offense is, yes, it needs some big plays every now and then, but this is a running offense. Even with Nick Chubb out, Kareem Hunt is more than capable. They're going to lose a beat, but not a huge one.
Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. Let me first weave this in. So we know that Le'Veon Bell's three teams, his wish list, no order. And he might even decide today. Kansas City, Miami, and the Bills.
It's kind of ridiculous, though, his wish list.
You think so?
Yeah, because it's all the teams that
of trolling the Jets. Yeah,
the Jets are going to play.
I mean, I got you.
I don't know if that makes sense for any of them, but especially the Chiefs, but we'll see.
Well, the Chiefs probably need him the least. If I'm Le'Veon Bell, I want to start playing some playoff games again. Not that Miami is horrendous, but they seem at all. I mean, Fitzpatrick just eviscerated San Francisco, and they're starting to look pretty good. Now they're playing that team that I don't talk about anymore twice in the next 3 weeks, so they'll get a couple more wins. So they're with the extra wild card spot. They're certainly there, but the Bills are the better team. I think everybody would agree with that compared to Miami. And I actually thought that Le'Veon Bell would fit in nicely with the Bills before I even found out what his reporter wish list was. I say that because now I want to insert the Browns here. I don't know when Nick Chubb is coming back. Nobody knows right now. And as much as they're a running offense, and they've played pretty well this year. But Baker Mayfield, let's not overstate what Baker Mayfield's done this year.
No, I'm not saying you.
Yeah. I'm saying in general. You know, because you win 4 out of 5 games, and there's just this almost this euphoric vibe around the fan base. Understandably so. Enjoy it. Have fun. Because it probably ends this weekend. But I don't know that this Browns offense can trot out, you know, what they trotted out the last couple of weeks and beat the Steelers. I don't see it. I like what the Browns are doing, but I'm not fully enamored with where they're going to be going, because Baker Mayfield has not played great football.
No.
He just hasn't.
No, he hasn't. And that's, I don't know if that's to be expected. I guess it's, I don't want to say that this is, he's settling into who he is, which is a game manager, because that's not what we saw his rookie season. It was like, man, this kid is going to be special. Like, he can make the throws, and he's got this attitude. He's got this command of his team and this offense. But that's not what we're seeing as of late when, you know, we're seeing them win, and we're seeing them do it in old school ways with a good defense, have a good run game, you know, throw short passes or short connections to your wide receivers and let them go do what they're going to do. Let them fight for balls, which Odell Beckham and Jarvis Landry did a lot last weekend. So yeah, I hear you. You're right. If you're saying to me, you got to put put this team on Baker Mayfield's back and let them go win, I'm not very confident in doing that. If you're going to do it as a team, then maybe I feel, you know, more better about this Browns team than saying it's just about Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, I mean, the numbers are really pedestrian. And he's played 5 games, 3 mm-hmm. of the games he's had interceptions. One of the games he had 2 picks coming off the 2-pick game. That was kind of buried because Phillip Rivers was atrocious.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the lead, that ridiculous pick 6 when he just completely telegraphed it like a rookie would. And I'm not trying to bury, I mean, Phillip Rivers, but he's playing some sloppy football.
He doesn't have the arm anymore, BT.
He hasn't had the arm for 2 years.
That's a good point, but he thinks he does.
Yes.
Right, the interception, the one you're talking about, the one that where he it was an out, and he kind of, one, it was short, and two, it was just a bad decision.
He thought he could
smash that thing in there. It's like, dude, what are you thinking, man?
Like
the best can't do that, you know, on a good day, and you certainly can't. Yeah. So it's not only that he's losing like the juice,
mm-hmm.
he's losing the decision-making ability, which is worse, probably.
Yeah, and if Rivers wasn't, you know, so off, then Mayfield would have been a much bigger story, mm-hmm. which is my ultimate point.
I agree with you.
You know what's crazy, too, T? Like, so Baker Mayfield, and I like the way you frame that. Maybe he's just settling into ultimately who he's going to be.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, a guy that I think his teammates enjoy playing with.
Of course.
He's got some moxie. He's got a little toughness, a little attitude. You know, enough a wiggle. I'll put quotes around wiggle. But enough wiggle to just kind of manipulate the pocket, get outside, make a play, extend it when he's on. Very accurate. But keep in mind, this is with weapons and assets everywhere. And this is the unfair and cruel, you know, realistic aspect of the NFL. Cruel reality, I should say. If you get drafted to the wrong team, it's all you need to know. Because if Baker Mayfield's playing for Adam Gase, or Baker Mayfield went to the Cardinals last year, or Baker Mayfield went somewhere else, Baker Mayfield's terrible at this point.
Yeah.
Like, he's playing acceptable football now for a team that's loaded.
Yeah, that's right. So
that's kind of problematic.
He can make mistakes and get away with them.
It's the first overall pick.
Yeah, he can make mistakes and get away with them on this team.
Correct.
Which, I mean, look, it's circumstance. Sometimes you just got to be lucky. And maybe he got lucky because the team that drafted him ended up putting some good pieces. They drafted really well. The Browns have drafted well over the last couple of years, and even in free agency, and not even free agency, in the trades.
Free agency too. Conklin.
Well, free agency also, but also with trades. I mean, Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. are trades.
Correct.
Right? Free agency, you can throw in Kareem Hunt, but that was an odd situation with when he got let go by the Kansas City Chiefs. But like, they've been able to bring in some really good players in all aspects of bringing in players with the draft, with Myles Garrett, as we talked about, and Baker even to an extent. But, you know, free
Denzel
agency.
Ward.
Yep, Denzel Ward. You know, so they've done really well front office-wise, even though it's two different regimes.
That's true. So, you know, when you say, well, who needs the game more? I mean, that's almost like, you know, such a ridiculous way to frame it at this point in the season. But, you know, for a team like the Browns, there is extra merit and you know, extra points for in terms of not style points, but if they were ever, first of all, they never win in Pittsburgh.
Mm-mm.
They never win there. So that's going against them. The Steelers are really good. And I think, now not everybody agrees with me on this. I think the Steelers will, they're going to lose eventually, but will sustain this high. And I think in certain spots get even better as the year goes on, I think. I picked them to win the North. I really like the Steelers. But if the Browns were ever to win this game, what it would do for the locker room, because it looks from a distance, and you could certainly speak to this, it looks from a distance that, you know, instead of taking the field hoping to win, which is what bad-to-average teams do, the Browns are now entering games expecting to win, and this will propel them to a different level.
Yeah, no, you're right. This, I mean, if you're going to frame it, and it's a lazy conversation, who needs it more? The Browns, it would do so much for their psyche, because the Pittsburgh Steelers are, you know, they're just historically a great franchise, and they have a great coach in Mike Tomlin, who I saw some articles about on Le'Veon Bell and how Mike Tomlin, you know, somehow he managed all of that, you know, because we forget it wasn't just Le'Veon, it was Antonio Brown as well, and you know, some aging defenders over the years. He's managed it so well, and they don't say anything. They don't talk about this, and these players don't talk about it. Mike Tomlin's done a hell of a job of putting a really good team together, but just more importantly, with the Steelers, they always find ways to retool. You know, because of when they lose players, doesn't matter. You lose Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster has a bad day, go get Chase Claypool, right? We'll draft him in the second round and have a 4-touchdown day. You know, so they have talent everywhere, both sides of the football. So the Steelers are expected to win. But the Browns are the team that if they do win, it almost feels like that corner is turned. Like, we know they're there. Like, they're 4-1 right now. So we know that they're right there. But if they beat the Steelers, then it feels like the corner is turned a little bit.
It's an elevator kind of a game.
Yeah.
It's a perceptual elevator. It's a standings elevator. You know, you win in your division, it basically counts as two. I can't prove this.
Yeah.
But I really believe, and I'm just in my brain quickly going through basically 30 years of football, I don't know that there's ever – matter of fact, I don't think – I'm going to say more of a statement. I don't think there's ever been a franchise that has drafted and developed wide receivers like any other franchise specific to any other position in my lifetime. The Steelers.
Yeah.
They do this now. Yeah, there's teams that have had great runs, and they had, you know, a couple of years where they drafted two or three great offensive linemen, but then they eventually fizzled out and they didn't necessarily draft ones to take their place. Every time the Steelers make a decision with a wide receiver, it's the right one, from who they draft to who they allow to walk out the door to who they elect to pay. Their acumen at the wide receiver position is mind-boggling.
Yeah, now you
it's
can
astounding.
Go back. You can go back to, I'm just looking at the list of like the top wide receiver. So
even
like,
even Wallace was good when they had him.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, but Wallace, Sanders,
but I mean, you can you can almost go all the way back to like John Stallworth, right?
Back then,
it was Stallworth, and then you know, Thigpen, Tyler, not Tyler,
Yancey Thigpen,
Yancey Thigpen, who was there
Thigpen
for a minute.
Wow.
And then Plaxico was there.
Yep.
Forget Plaxico was there. And then you got a little problematic, send them off. Okay, then you got Hines Ward. And
Santonio Holmes.
Santonio Holmes comes in after
he
that.
He got problematic. They shipped him out.
That's right. And then Wallace, Mike Wallace, remember he was there for a minute? He
absolutely
was really good there for a
went
minute.
Went to Miami, got paid.
Went to Miami, then fell off the face of the earth. Antonio Brown, he goes the issue. Then it's Juju Smith-Schuster. Now it's Chase Claypool.
It's amazing.
It is every single year. I mean, but you know what? You know what? That's probably a result of the consistency in the front office
and the
right?
quarterback position,
and the coach. I was going to say front office and the coach
more so. Than
obviously,
Big Ben?
Obviously, the quarterback as well. But there's no shifting philosophies. It's not like you're. Yeah. It's not like you're going, all right, we got a new head coach after 4 years. All right, what do you want to do?
That's true.
You know what I mean? It's,
yeah.
It's the same. It's so consistent. It just allows you to bring in the same kind of and right-minded people. And even if they're a little bit on edge, you know that your coach who has stability, like you're not getting rid of the coach.
No.
Right? Some places you go play and the guy becomes a star and it's like, all right, something's got to go. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be the star in Pittsburgh. It's never going to be the coach.
Well, and they're smart too because they get rid of the player right before the player gets paid. So the player doesn't have the license to do whatever the heck he wants.
Yes.
unless you're a complete nutcase without regard to authority, and there's very few of those that enter the NFL and then wind up staying in the NFL.
Yeah, it's very New England Patriots, just without all the championships. Right?
That's fair.
They do the same thing.
That's fair.
They get rid of the guy who wants to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, all right, see ya.
Yeah.
Hey, we're not even going to let it become an offseason issue. We're going
to
trade.
They're not afraid to bring in the wild card when he's not getting paid, because they trust the infrastructure.
Yes, of course.
To protect, you know, the team element.
Of course.
And then once it's time to break off a brick, they say, peace. Now we don't want you. Now you got to go.
True. But the Steelers haven't needed that, like, wild card free agent, though. That's the difference. Like, the Steelers, because of what we're talking about, they don't need to go get a wild card free agent. I'm trying to think of a Patriot, Randy Moss.
Or trade for Stephon Diggs, even though he's not really a wild card. But I know what you mean.
Anyone like that. They don't need to go get these fringe guys. Corey Dillon. They don't need to go get those guys.
Yeah.
These cast off from other places. LeGarrette Blount. Because they draft so well. But they do have the same kind of philosophy. As soon as you're ready to get paid or become a problem child, see ya.
Is what's the hardest position to scout besides quarterback? It's the hardest position to really nail consistently.
Probably offensive line.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely, because you don't know if it's going to translate, right? You see these kids are just, they're studs in college, and they get to the NFL, it's a different game. And
what's the easiest?
Running back, there's no doubt about it, because it's so much instinct. It's do you know where you're supposed to be going? I mean, the blocking stuff aside, but as a runner, do you know where you're supposed to be going? Go make something happen, right?
Mm-hmm.
Learn it. You can learn it really quickly, because it's just instinctual, something you've been doing your whole life.
All right. Well, listen, this guy, I mean, he's no Sharp Tierney, but, he owns the casino so far this year. Pete Prisco has been on fire with his picks. We'll talk about this game. We'll talk about all the different situations. What might be a decent fit for Haskins? Where do you think Le'Veon Bell is going to wind up? Good buddy Pete Prisco. Been a little while since we've had him on the show, but always fits in seamlessly. Great guy. Great football content. So we've got Pete Prisco coming up next right here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Need replacement parts and tools for your repair, maintenance, or restoration project? O'Reilly Auto Parts has you covered. Trust the friendly, knowledgeable parts professionals at O'Reilly Auto Parts. They know what it takes to get the job done right the first time. In fact, professional technicians have counted on O'Reilly Auto Parts for years. The professional parts people will make the most out of your visit and test your battery free of charge when you come to an O'Reilly Auto Parts store. If your battery needs to be replaced, they can help you find the exact battery that fits your vehicle at a guaranteed low price. Like SuperStart batteries exclusively at O'Reilly Auto Parts, designed to meet the electrical demands of today's vehicles. Get dependable power and performance from a SuperStart battery for your car, truck, motorcycle, lawnmower, boat, and more. Stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store and talk to one of their professional parts people today. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices, every day.
Get down to the song, Teak. Get down to the song. If I got a couple drinks in me, get down to this. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free lines, 1-855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Want to know what's really scary? Seeing just how much could have been saving on car insurance by switching to GEICO. It'll keep you up at night. Switch to GEICO and save. Teak, we are joined by our comrade, part of the CBS family, has been for a long time, CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst, and you read him regularly on CBSSports.com. It's our buddies, just a real dude, Pete Prisco, who's finally winning some games this year. Pete's on a heater. What up, Prisco?
I am on a heater. I'll take it. They're calling me Pandemic Pete because I'm having a good year during the pandemic.
Hey, so Prisco has been crushing his picks against the spread, 45-30-1. What do you attribute it to? I mean, it's every season's different, but are you researching differently, or what are you doing different?
No, I'm just getting luckier, I guess. I'm doing the same I always do. I watch all the tapes. I try and figure out who's going to play well and who's not, and then I go from there. And by the way, on Brinson's Pick Six podcast, I'm killing it with my best bets too. I think I'm 20 and 9 or something like that.
Wait, against the spread or straight up?
Against the spread.
Okay. Well, that's impressive too. Nice. Good job there, Prisco. So he has a grand entrance today. He's earned it. He's crushing it. Let's want to bounce around a bunch of different things. So. Dwayne Haskins, listen, it's obvious that Washington doesn't want him, Rivera doesn't want him, doesn't fit, etc. any, I don't mean in terms of what could they get back on the trade market, but do you believe there would be some intrigue from some personnel people that believe he's either being used improperly or they just need to harness the skill differently? Does anybody believe in Haskins moving forward?
Well, I think it's probably along the same lines as the Josh Rosen situation, although I don't think you're going to get what you got for him. Somebody's going to give him a chance. Now, whether they give up draft picks remains to be seen. I doubt it. But somebody feels like, you know how this league is, somebody obviously feels like they might be able to salvage him and try and turn him into something. And is he? Is it capable? It was weird because the last game he played was actually one of the better games he played, and then they benched him.
That's what I thought.
That was the strange thing of it.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And Ron Rivera was like, yeah, we gave him a fourth and whatever it was, goal from the 13, and he threw a two-yard out, and that was the decision. He's not going to advance us as going forward. We know what code word is. We're trying to trade a guy. If you can't find a trade partner, that means you're going to cut him. Like Le'Veon Bell, he just got cut by the New York Jets. Bigger picture here, Pete. We have seen 8 games disrupted by a couple of outbreaks, even though it was small in New England, it's much larger in Tennessee. Have you heard of any contingencies that the league is thinking about? Because if one or more two or three teams have the same situation, I don't know how you fit the schedule in the existing, whatever it is, 12 weeks that are remaining. We see the Atlanta Falcons are obviously, you know, now shut down their facility. Have you heard anything about there needs to be a contingency?
Week 18. And I think that's the contingency, is if there are that many games canceled, you go to week 18. And what you might do is play them in week 17 and then play the division games in week 18. I think that's the way they'll handle it. That's the way they should handle it. If you have to push, remember, you can always push the week between the Super Bowl and the championship games. That used to be something that wasn't there. I mean, I remember flying back from West Coast, you know, championship games to go to the Super Bowl, right to the Super Bowl. You had to pack for the whole thing. So I think they can do that. Yeah, look, there's going to be a lot of positive tests, and here's why. We're testing everybody every day.
That's a good point.
I mean, it's a situation where we're testing healthy people every single day, so there are going to be positive tests.
That's true.
The question becomes, how do you handle it? How do you navigate it? You know, the Titans had an outbreak. They couldn't navigate for a week, but now they're back. All those guys are back.
Yeah.
You know,
and healthy and playing better than ever.
Correct. And then you had A.J. Terrell, who missed the game, but the Falcons missed it because of COVID, and the Falcons played on. Well, today it was an assistant coach who tested positive, and they shut it down. They could have worked, but they shut it down because they're being cautious about it. I understand being cautious, but get ready for more of this, because the more you test, people are going to have positive tests. That's just the way it is. And, you know, it's just sometimes you got to sit there and say, you added the practice squad guys for a reason.
Use them.
If it's one or two guys, you go play on.
Yeah. Use them. I got you. Pete Prisco's with us, CBS Sports HQ, NFL analyst, writes all the time, CBSSports.com. So I tell you, as soon as I heard Arthur Blank say what he said the other day pertaining to Matt Ryan, I thought it was a stroke of genius. Now, for those who missed it, Arthur Blank basically said, you know, I don't know what Matt Ryan's future is. I'd like to have him back, but I'm going to empower the new GM, the new head coach, and let them make the decision, which really, in a lot of ways, Pete, is in direct contrast to how the Giants the last couple of years kept shoving Eli Manning down the throat of some people that might not have wanted him with all due respect to Eli, as Eli's skill decayed. I think it's smart. That doesn't mean Matt Ryan won't be back in Atlanta, but it opens up the job with no limitations, and I think makes it a lot more appealing. Everybody might not want to coach Matt Ryan. That was a smart move by Blank, I really thought. How did you interpret what he said?
Well, there's not a lot he can do with him because of the cap number. I mean, they got next year, he's got $49 million in dead cap. So I don't know how he would be able to handle that.
No, but I mean, like, even beyond that, Pete, it's not like, hey, we drafted him a third overall back in the day. He's a Ring of Honor guy. Matt Ryan's going to play here until the day he retires. Like, you know, you allow the guys to come in and say, all right, we can't swallow a $49 million nut, understood, but the year after that, we could start maybe kicking the tires on an ouster if they want to.
Yeah, and by then he's going to be a little older. That makes sense. I mean, you got to start looking around for your next quarterback. If you don't, you have big problems. So I understand it. I mean, and Matt Ryan understood it. If anybody understood it the way he said it, look, we rent these lockers. We don't own them. And I thought that was a great comeback to it. So he understands the business of it. I still think he can play. I think there's been a lot of circumstances around that team. Yep. You know, the offensive line's been a problem over the years. They haven't run the ball that great. The receivers have been banged up, and then the defense is a disaster. I mean, every year for the last 3 years, they keep getting hurt, and they're bad. They can't rush the passer. You know how long they've been chasing pass rushers? Since John Abraham went out the building.
John
That's how long they've been chasing
That's
pass
a long
rushers.
Time, man. That's
John
a really
Abraham
long time.
For a minute.
Pete, what do you think about Le'Veon Bell? Where is he going to land?
I wouldn't pay him, and nobody's going to pay him because they don't have to because there's offsets to the deal. But look, does he excite you? Doesn't excite me. At all. I'm a young back guy. You know, you guys know where I stand on that. And no offense, Tiki, but you draft him, you run him into the ground, and you draft another one. That's how I play it. And all you got to do is look at the big money deals. David Johnson didn't work out. Mm-hmm. Todd Gurley didn't work out. Le'Veon Bell didn't work out. You know, Derrick Henry, he averaged 3 yards a rush the other night, and everybody was raving about him. Running backs don't decide games anymore. They don't.
Well,
it's great to have Christian McCaffrey or Alvin Kamara, the guy that can come out of the backfield and catch the ball, and they're like the airbacks, so, you know, they could do that. But the guy who just lines up and runs the football,
Derrick Henry was pretty good in the postseason.
He was great historically.
And I hear what you're saying. I agree with you for the most part. Every now and then, you do have a Derrick Henry who carries you for two games in the postseason, like he did the Tennessee Titans. But it's hard to argue with what you're saying, Pete. But the question, I guess the follow to that is he going to have a hard time finding a landing spot?
No, somebody's going to give us. I mean, there's teams out there that need backs. I'm surprised Chicago hasn't been more active in it, but they got a young back in Montgomery they like. You know, the Chiefs have been mentioned. You know, the Buffalo, I don't like at all. But, you know, Singletary didn't look very good the other day. DJ Yeldon takes a half hour to get to the line of scrimmage.
I was shocked he had so many carries. But he's hurt, right?
Yeah, he's hurt. But he might be back in a week or so, or maybe even this week. But, yeah. I don't know. What is he? He's a pass catching running back who doesn't run like he used to run.
Yeah.
You know, they can talk all they want about the year off. It helped his body. The year off hurts, and it hurt him, and it hurt Gronkowski. And they can say, "Oh, well, you're fresher, all this." They're not the same player. Neither one of them is the same player.
Good point.
So I don't know. I'd be careful with him. I bring him in for spot duty. That's all he's going to get on my team.
It's a good point about Gronk, because Gronk feels like he's, I don't know, washed up. All right, so the Cowboys, Dak Prescott, we know he's out for the year. The bigger issue with Dak is, you know, not whether or not Jerry Jones loves him, but how do they pay him? You know, how do they resolve this?
Well, they could tag him again. The problem is you'll be tagging him before you know if he's healthy.
Yeah.
You know, and again, we assume he's going to come back healthy. He should come back healthy, but you never know. And so you got to make a decision on it. Do you tag him again? Because that's the last of it. If you tag him once, you're not going to get him the next year. So I think they have to try and work out a long-term deal with him.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair. Now, they thought they had a long-term deal with him that was fair to begin with. And what was it, $35, $36 million a year?
Yep. But 1 year too long, right? He wanted one less year.
You know, somebody in the league, one of the GMs told me, they said, look, Patrick Mahomes set the bar. That's it. You're not getting past him now, at least
true.
For a while. Dak Prescott can't go past him. And so I think $35 million, maybe with some incentives to make more per year, would be fair to him. The problem is he wanted a shorter deal. And if you want a shorter deal, then that might take some of the the money in the deal. Mm-hmm. But they'll work it out. I think he'll be there. They love him. I think ideally he'd love to be there as well.
It's Pete Prisco, CBS Sports HQ NFL analyst. Pete, give us 30 seconds. Let's maybe hit the door on this. You have a choice of the next, 5-7 years, assuming health, obviously. You going Joe Burrow or you taking Herbert?
You know, I like them both, and I like them both coming out. They're I'm probably going Burrow because I think he's got they both have that. You know, it was weird coming out. Do you remember this when they said, oh, Herbert doesn't have the personality? And then you talk to the people around the league and they go, oh, no, tough guy, macho guy, we'll take the shots, we'll stand in there. Burrow's the same way. I mean, he's getting beat up to death right now. I mean, he keeps getting up and throwing balls. I think they're both going to be really, really good. One of them will be And I said Joe Burrow will win a Super Bowl in the next 10 years, so I'm going to stick to that. I'll lean to Burrow, but I think both of them are going to be very good quarterbacks.
Well, listen, stay hot. You know, ride this wave as long as you can. Pete Prisco's hammering. He's getting.
How have you done, by the way?
I always do well. You don't have to ask me that. Come on.
No,
how am I doing?
Stop it. You do
what do
not.
What do you mean, how am I doing? What? what?
Are you winning?
Of course I'm winning. I always win. Prisco. Wait, Pete.
Tinky.
Yeah.
Pete. Tinky.
He's doing all right. He's doing all right. He's above 60%.
Pete, you realize we're still on the air now. Don't ask dumb questions on the air. I never lose. I'm a dude.
Everybody loses. That's why.
No, I don't mean I never lose a bet.
And hotels in Vegas, and now they got the big books all over the place. Come
Prisco,
on.
The record is. Well, hold on. You know, I was just looking at my picks. We got a break here. What are you pulling me into this now for? Hold on. No, it's because I already have my picks for tomorrow. All time, 399. 329 and 28. That is a lot of picks to be over 55% at. I'll put that up against anybody. Anybody.
That's pretty good. I'm impressed.
No, thank you. I'm trying to tear me down, and then I get a backhanded compliment. I always don't. You listen
to
the show.
Yeah, but then you probably have your best bets are probably like the five worst ones. So you're 0-5 one week, but you had a good week.
Hold on, so, Prisco. Stop. First of all, you should be teaching me this. Best bets are moronic because any bet, and I know you're doing well, and I respect that. But best bets are implying that the other bets you put out there are mouchard bets. So every bet that I put out there in my mind is a best bet. Best bets, it's a moronic term.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
Some games you like more than others.
No, but I pick 10 games. I don't do every game.
Oh, we have to pick every game. That's the problem.
All right. Well, there you go, man. But you're doing great. I'm proud of you.
We have to pick every game. So.
Okay.
All right. So now you put out the best bets, and you get hot, and then you wait for the week that's going to come and give you an offer.
Hey, Prisco, you want me to bronze and commission a statue for you? You're 45-30-1. I'm licking your boots now. You're kicking ass.
29-1 with the best bets. That's a good record.
That's tremendous. That really is great.
I'd be a child. I could call half the country and give one side the pick and half the country give the other side the pick like they used to do in the old days. Remember?
Yeah, exactly. Get them in the middle on the VIG. Prisco, we got to go. Stay hot,
right,
buddy. Thanks a lot, man.
Yeah. All right. You got it.
See you later, Pete. Great guy. Inbounds, out of bounds next. And we mentioned a few of the spots for Le'Veon Bell, which would be the best fit. That's on the menu. Axe updates right now. Here's Rich.
Week 7 of the NFL season. We no Thursday night games, obviously. You can catch them all on CBS, which I had to line up right now, but I don't. But CBS, obviously, is full of action as we get to every Sunday with our CBS crew.
BT's little mic issue. Now, little mic issue. Good jumping in there. We've got the Browns and the Steelers and all the other regional action. So JB and the crew will get you going. Week 6, hottest topics around the league. NFL Today start at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific, Sunday on CBS. We got that out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Did I come across? Okay, there you go. Tiki and Tierney here, CBS Sports Radio. You ready for a little inbounds out of? Now I can really leave you hanging. Do you have the inbounds out of bounds questions?
Of course. I have the inbounds out of bounds. I have all the documents except for your reads.
Except the reads. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, Tiki, we've hit this a couple of times. Le'Veon Bell, now an unrestricted free agent. He was cut by that team. Now reports say that Bell's narrowed down his choice, and there's three squads on his wish list. The Dolphins, the Chiefs, and the Buffalo Bills. Defending champs, of course, they have rookie Clyde Edwards-Alaire, but a little depth behind him. While the Dolphins and the Bills are certainly lacking in the run game, and could both, though, listen, you could never have too many offensive weapons. So, in or out, one of these three teams would be the best fit for Bell of all the teams in the NFL?
I guess it depends on what he's looking for, but I'm going to say inbounds because what he's looking for is revenge and to be able to stick it to the New York Jets, especially for a team that, you know, is going somewhere this year, and that would be the Bills. Zach Moss, who Pete Pritzko was talking about, has been out for the toe injury. He should return in a week or so. And T.J. Yeldon was forced to carry the load last weekend. He had a pretty good day, averaged 7 yards a carry. He had 7 carries for 70 yards, but he doesn't inspire you necessarily going forward. I would say the Bills are the best team, but, yeah, I think these are the three.
Yeah, I like the Bills even before I saw his list. I was saying that on the show 2 days ago. I think the Bears would be a very good fit. Mm-hmm. I said that as well. Prisco said he was surprised they weren't on the list. I agree. I think the Bears would make a little bit of sense. Well, the truth of the matter is it really depends how you frame Le'Veon Bell at this point.
Yeah.
If you view him as a situational guy, maybe, you know, 8 to 11 rushes, you know, 4 or 5 targets or something like in the neighborhood, then I think he'd help and complement any offense, provided he's locked in and he's healthy and the hamstring is okay.
I just don't know if that's his mode, man, if he's going to be down with that.
I hear you. I mean, if that's the case, you should have – well, they weren't even using him properly. I was going to say, if that's the case, just stay with a loser and get fed 25 times a week. But Frank Gore's getting most of the touches anyway. I'm going to stick with the Bills. That was my first gut, and Kansas City might be the easy call to win a championship, even though we know it's not that easy.
Yeah.
But the Bills, he would compliment them. I think he'd look good for the Bills. I'm going to keep saying the Buffalo Bills.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. Zeke Packers wideout Devontae Adams was off to a red-hot scorching start, catching 17 passes for a 192 with 2 touchdowns in the first 2 games. However, he's missed 3 straight. He's got a hamstring injury. Though the 3-time Pro Bowler thought he could have played last week in a since-deleted tweet, which accomplishes nothing, by the way. Don't we know that by now?
I know.
You know, Adams said, quote, done everything I need to do. I guess I don't know my body as well as others. End tweet, quote. Yesterday, Adams explained the tweet.
It's not too much to read into it to say I was frustrated. Obviously, I'm a competitor. I think everybody knows that. You know, I obviously understand what the club's interests and everything that goes with it, but you know, being a competitor, like I said, me being who I am and how I'm wired, that even if I'm not 100%, I've played few football games feeling 100%. So at the end of the day, a lot of that factored into the decision. A little frustrated when it happened, obviously, but then decided to take it down just so there was no distractions on game day.
Okay. It's very, very reasonable and rational explanation.
Yeah.
Got to respect that. In or out, the Packers do need Adams healthy if they want to win the Super Bowl.
I mean, yeah,
100%.
Obviously. In bounds. I mean, well, I don't know if you look at it. You have a great player. You don't want him to play? Of course you do. It's the only way to win a Super Bowl. And you look at teams that get there, they're usually healthy on week whatever it is 20 something as they are on week 1 of the NFL season. So yeah, obviously this answer is inbounds. Can they get by without him? Yeah, of course they can do that as well.
Yep.
So look, Devontae Adams, if you are going to tweet and you're going to back away from it, just leave it up and comment on it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's easier because if you do, it looks worse trying to delete it and wash it away. It's never going to go away.
You know what though? I agree. And by the way, I've deleted stuff just because I don't want to take up space on my profile page. The way he explained it, now I totally agree with taking it down because if you keep it up, it almost seems like belligerent, like and it would fester possibly, and people would begin to surmise, oh, is there a rift? Oh, is Adams in the – are they at odds? Take it down. Say what you said. Man up. Give us a nice explanation. We move on. But from a football player point of view, especially with Lazard out, who's on IR still, he's going to be there for a little bit with the core surgery, of course they need him to win the Super Bowl, to secure home field, to do everything that they could possibly do. No doubt, he's a great player.
I got a better suggestion. Don't tweet when you're emotional.
Are you in or are you out?
All right. After falling down 2-0 to the Braves, the Dodgers exploded. 11 runs in the first inning last night. It was ridiculous. On their way to a 15-3 game three win, they just crushed them. So now Clayton obviously was scratched from game 2. Clayton Kershaw, but the A's will get the ball tonight, game 4. As we've discussed, Kershaw is 2-0 and 19 strikeouts, 14 innings this postseason, but we do know the history of postseason failure. So despite his career postseason struggles, you do have faith in Kershaw on the bump tonight.
I'm going to say inbounds. Of course I do. He's a competitor. He's a veteran. He has been pitching better. I think that, you know, they should be more aware of early struggles. I don't think he's at the point where he's going to work his way through some of these early struggles like Garrett Cole was in his what game was that? Game three.
Had bases loaded with walks.
Yeah, but he worked his way through it, right?
Yep.
I don't think Clayton Kershaw is at that point in his career anymore. So as long as he's in managing it, then, yeah, I think he's going to be fine.
Totally agree. Listen, there's been a little misperception in terms of where his stuff is.
Mm-hmm.
His, and we've talked about this on the show, his stuff yeah, you could reference all the spin rates, the velocity, the reliance on certain pitchers, the 12-6 break and all that stuff. His stuff is really good again. Like, there was a little downtick, you know, where the things weren't quite as toolboxy. He looks terrific. Now, my answer is inbounds, because I will always ride greatness and talent. I always thought A-Rod would find a way to bust out. I always thought Barry Bonds back in the day with the Pirates would find a way to, you know, bust out. I always thought that Boeheim would eventually find a way to win a championship. If you're great, I'm going to ride that, because that's what you put forward and put forth for me to dissect. Yeah, there's moments where uber critical. And listen, Kershaw hasn't delivered when he needs to. I'm not saying that he hasn't, but am I going to take the talent and the heart and the IQ, or am I going to latch on to the recent narrative? I'm going with the former. I believe he pitches well tonight.
Are you in or are you out?
The Manning family, the NFL's greatest name, along with the Matthews as well, and the Watts and the Longs. There's some good ones out there, but the Mannings take the cake. Now Archie's grandson, Arch, son of Cooper Manning and nephew of Eli and Peyton. He's a big-time prospect, Teak. He's a high school sophomore. I was watching video of him today. Mm-hmm. He's throwing really, I mean, he looks like a Manning, put it that way. Arch set Louisiana records as a freshman last year, and so far this year, through two games, 463 yards, six touchdowns, and one pick. Now, tonight he's going to debut on national TV as his, Isidore Newton team. That's a Jesuit school out there, I think. Takes on Kip Booker T. Washington. That's on ESPN2. So, in or out, the early spotlight on Arch is harmful to the 15-year-old.
No, not at all. I mean, he's been watching this for a long time from afar. Let's not forget that his uncle, Eli, didn't retire until a year ago. So he's seen it from upbringing up close and personal.
Yep.
His other uncle, he was probably aware enough. Peyton's been retired 6 years, 5 years now. So, I mean, certainly he was 12, mm-hmm. you know, when his other uncle was winning Super Bowls at the end of his career. So, yeah, he's very well aware of what his name means, not just in football circles, but in all sports hierarchy circles. So,
yes.
Yeah, no, this is not damaging.
Totally agree. Completely out of bounds. And not just pertaining to the football element, but when you walk around with certain names.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's face it, when AJ goes to Princeton next year, even now, and Chase in the year after, I mean, when your sons are both in college, you got to make sure you toe the line, because that name is more recognizable than other guys on his team. It just is what it is. The Manning name comes great expectation. You get a lot, but there's great expectation on the field and how you comport yourself off, and based on the way the Mannings all comport themselves, no doubt that this young man is a gem of a young man who's probably doing it in the classroom as well, and he looks like a superstar, so not worried at all. He's used to this, as Tiki said.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
Did you guys ever get, like, the local cable station, you and Rondé, in high school? Did you ever guys get on TV in high school?
Yeah, we were on often, because in Roanoke, the coverage down there was amazing of high school sports. It wasn't, I mean, there was no major college or NFL around. So WDBJ7 and... you know, just all of these writers, they were great. I still talk to some of them. So
giving them scoops, Teak?
No, not necessarily scoops, but, you know, they're just all good people, man.
I got you. All right, coming up, interesting article about LeBron that frames his NBA path as detrimental to the NBA. We'll get to that coming up.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.